far from concluded. His country will exact a price when the timing is right. 99% of projectiles were intercepted, according to the IDF. Israel's President Isaac Herzog says the threat posed by Tehran cannot be ignored.
We should not turn a blind eye, but we should be looking lucidly at the phenomena called Tehran and Iran. Why is this empire of evil using its weapons all over...
Rishi Sunak, who's confirmed RAF jets shot down some drones, has described the onslaught as a dangerous and unnecessary escalation. The attack comes almost 2 weeks after a deadly strike on Iran's consulate in the Syrian capital. Elsewhere, it's understood more than 250 survivors of the Manchester Arena terror attack are to sue MI5. 22 people were murdered at the end of an Ariana Grande concert in 2017. Police investigating the Sydney shopping centre stabbings say they're no clearer to working out a motive. The family of Joel Couchy, who killed six people before being shot dead, say he'd had mental health issues for years. A poll suggests the popularity of Scotland's First Minister has plummeted to minus 7%. That's down from plus 14 for Hamza Yousaf among SNP voters in January. To football, and Liverpool have slipped up in the Premier League title race. Live to Shane Pinnington at Anfield.
But it's finished Liverpool 0, Crystal Palace 1, and Oliver Glasner's side have dealt a real blow to the host's title aspirations here. Berici Essay's first half strike was the difference, with Liverpool's failure to convert chances at Achilles' heel, with Salah, Jones, Nunes all missing opportunities. It's now over to Arsenal, who kick off a 4:30 against Aston Villa. It's finished here Liverpool 0, Crystal Palace 1.
Fulham beat West Ham 2-0. Celtic have control of the Scottish Premiership title race after second place Rangers lost 3-2 at Ross County. That's the latest. I'm Nick Qureshi.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
This evening should be dry to start with some late sunny spells. There'll be clear skies during the first part of the night before showers arrive from the northwest by the end. It'll be turning windy, particularly along the coast, and the minimum temperature is 4 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow it will be mostly cloudy and damp, with heavy and blustery showers spreading southeast through the day, although perhaps becoming more scattered later, turning cooler with temperatures below average. Maximum temperature will be 10 degrees Celsius. And that is your weather.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
And welcome to the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM, and we hope you've been enjoying this glorious sunny weather today. And if you're a gardener, you'll be glad to be back in the garden this weekend. We are going to share some amazing creative gardens that you might like to visit and some of the artists behind them in our show this week.
And we'll also have some poetry about April and all the usual events and national news to keep you informed. Our playlist is inspired by flowers and gardening and the growing season of spring to keep all our spirits up in this lovely warm weather. So let's get on with the show. I'm Claire.
And I'm Natalie. And this is the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
See more, feed me all night long. That's right, boy, you can do it. Feed me, see more, feed me all night long. 'Cause if you feed me, see more, I can grow up big and strong.
if you want me, baby. I was about to be a big wheel, dining out for every meal. I'm the man to make it all real. You're gonna get it. Hey, I'm your genie. I'm your friend. I'm your willing slave. Take a chance, eat me in. You know the kind of geese, the kind of red hot treats, the kind of sticky licky sweets I crave. Oh, come on, Zemo, don't be a putz. Trust me, in your life will surely rival King Tut's. Show a little Michigan boy, work up some guts and you get it.
I don't know. Machine. Turned around like I was James Dean. Making all the guys on the corner turn green.
So go get it. Woo, woo, woo. If you wanna be profound, if you really got to justify, take a breath and look around. A lot of folks deserve to die.
Stupid woman. Christ, what a friggin' scatterbrain.
I'm so
falls off the motorcycle.
That was one I think that most of us must know that song, or at least must know Little Shop of Horrors, or have heard of Little Shop of Horrors, yeah. And the connection with gardening being it's about a great big plant.
A giant plant that eats people. I mean, what better for a gardening-themed show? And he owns the flower shop, doesn't he?
Yes.
And that's where it comes
from. Seymour. Feed me, yeah. Seymour.
So that song was called Feed Me, and it was from the original motion picture soundtrack for Little Shop of Horrors. And you said, it centres around meek floral assistant Seymour, who stumbles across a new breed of plant that he affectionately names Audrey 2.
Yes, because he's obviously in love with Audrey 1.
Yes.
Yes.
Soon he discovers Audrey 2 can speak, with the plant promising Seymour undying fame and fortune as long as he keeps feeding him blood. Over time, Seymour discovers Audrey 2 is out of... discovers Audrey 2's out-of-this-world origin and intent towards global domination.
Do you know what? Mostly that's missed for me in the show. Yeah. Whether you've watched the film or you've watched the play, the musical, that bit about the kind of out-of-worldy thing just gets
it missed. It doesn't really matter so much, does it?
Not really.
It's more about Seymour's kind of love of Audrey and what's happening around.
It's a little bit like...
And the dentist as well.
Oh,
who plays the dentist in the film? Is it Steve Martin?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
He plays it brilliantly. It's absolutely brilliant.
He's possibly my favourite character in that, actually. And even in comparison to the plant.
Yeah, I mean, he does play that role, that evil dentist role, incredibly well.
Yeah.
And we've talked about Little Shop of Horrors quite a few times on the show, because there's a few Easter eggs in that film. There's quite a few little things... Yeah. To spot. I'm looking at one at the moment because obviously my brain doesn't remember the Easter eggs, but I know there are many. The other thing that it slightly reminds me of is that in the same way that it's kind of got that out of worldy sort of science fiction element to it.
Yeah.
That I didn't really need or get when I watched it the first few times, and I still don't really notice it when I watch it. It's a little bit like Rocky Horror. Yeah. I know that they are supposed to come from Mars or wherever they're supposed to come from. But that bit kind of, like the ending of Rocky Horror never really works for me, because I know they're all kind of like suddenly come on dressed as, you know, coming from Transylvania and whatever, and they come on slightly more science, sort of science fiction. And the song Science Fiction is a brilliant song in that show. But that stuff doesn't really register for me in the show. It's much more about the kind of,
I guess,
the story between Brad and Janet,
so,
and
the fantastical anyway. Yeah, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't need to get more bombastic than that, does it? It's already diva enough.
I remember the first time I watched it thinking, why are they suddenly in science fiction like costumes? Why have they gone there? I don't understand what's going on.
I thought, oh, that's cool. They've got science fiction costumes on now.
So
that's fun.
So going back to the Easter egg, so I've just looked it up. Going back to the Easter egg, so in the film, in Little Shop of Horrors, with Steve Martin playing the crazy dentist, the nurse, the dental nurse. Do you remember who the dental nurse is?
No, I don't.
Miriam Margolyes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I love those little Easter eggs
and
things.
And of course she's in that film. Why wouldn't she be in that film?
So there's loads and loads and loads of fan stuff around Little Shop of Horrors. And if you get to see it live, it's brilliant live as well. But it's always one of those musicals that I will go back to on a rainy Sunday afternoon and just go, oh, I don't know what to watch.
For me, it's just on. You know, when
it's just
when
on all the
just
time,
on, and you just sit and watch the film because it's on.
Do you just have it in the background in your house all the time?
Yeah, somebody else is putting it on. I'm just watching it.
I had a meeting with Natalie this week online, and I was totally confused by the fact that we were really distracted by a background sound that was coming across Natalie's laptop really, really clearly. She kept saying it was the neighbours, and I thought she meant it was one of her neighbours, but it wasn't. It was the TV programme Neighbours that was going
and
on in her sitting room.
You've been keeping up with Neighbours,
which
TV
I really haven't.
This week, the scene that was on was the one where Carl Kennedy finds
it alive.
He's still alive. He was getting ready to be the main subject of a photo shoot and doing lots of exercise, but something goes wrong, and then he has to stop on somebody's lawn to, I'm not going to say it on air,
relieve himself.
That's what was happening
on someone's lawn
while we were talking, and that's why I left the room.
Oh, good grief.
With the computer.
It was very, but for quite a long time, I couldn't get my head around the fact that she was talking about a television programme and it wasn't one of your neighbours that we could somehow hear really clearly in your sitting room.
Mm.
But it wasn't. Because that would have been really weird if it had been one of your neighbours. Anyway, so apart from having an online meeting together, what have you been up to this week?
So I have been hosting Architecture Week, or Architecture Adventure, as it's now called.
You have, yeah.
So we've had activities every day from Monday, and then yesterday there were two activities on the same day. So I'm quite exhausted.
You're knackered.
Yeah. So yesterday morning started with constructing a geodesic dome.
Nice.
In the My Place Youth Centre, and that took about 2 hours. Yeah, and that's kind of how the week's been.
Were you on your own, or were there other people with you?
No, I was with Charlotte and Lewis.
Oh, okay, good.
Who helped by holding random metal poles while I bolted them all together.
Yeah.
And then we had to take it apart. It was very, very heavy to move around as well. So, yeah, that's what we've been doing. There was an amazing workshop that we ran on Thursday with Hannah Davis and our waste contractor at the Mercury Shopping Centre. So, basically, Hannah does this workshop where she helps kids create buildings and places out of cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
And I've never seen children so engaged. And obviously it's because it's the cardboard boxes, isn't it? Yes, it's like cats and cardboard boxes. Absolutely loved it. We had loads of quite nice boxes.
Maybe you should do it next time with children and cats and cardboard boxes.
Yeah, maybe have a catwalk in the middle of the shopping centre with the boxes around.
That would be amazing.
But yeah, there was a cafe was built out of cardboard boxes, and then there was a house with a roof and a chimney. And she gets these tools and miniature bolts that kids can play with, like from age 5 upwards. And they include like a miniature saw, and you'd think, oh, 5-year-old miniature saw doesn't sound safe. But actually, these are made, it's by a company called Make Do, I think. And these tools are just completely safe. They're not plastic,
but they can work as tools.
And you can use them as like a saw for cardboard boxes. Yeah. They're made specifically for cardboard.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, just so cool. And you can bolt the cardboard together and like make these structures that are all safe. It's amazing.
Oh, I love it. That's like, yeah, is it, it's really like fun. The wonder of miniature villages, isn't it? When you start kind of creating things in boxes, then you get that kind of sense of all those miniature villages that you like to go around when you're
Funny
kid.
You should say that, because that's what the activity has been today and yesterday, creating a miniature Romford town.
Oh, nice.
To scale in the middle of the Mercury Mall.
Wow.
With all of the shops and stuff that you actually want in the town.
A representative of what's there, or what you want to see.
Whatever you want to be there. So there's kind of a scale map drawn on the floor, and then you can build whatever you want, wherever you want.
Oh, fabulous.
So I think somebody built a pond where the town hall was supposed to be, or
good idea.
An art shop.
Good idea.
Art shop and a pond, yeah.
Well, do you know what? That's a really nice way of doing consultation of town planning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Regeneration of Romford is
I'm
right
not sure this would completely work. There was also a zoo.
Oh, nice.
Also a zoo, which is a great idea. Yeah,
why not?
And a flight control centre, but no airport.
No airports. Where? Wild. What are you controlling?
Airports from everywhere else.
Interesting. Cool. And what's this thing about you were watching Fallout? What is Fallout? Yeah. I don't know what Fallout
is. So this was released on Amazon Prime, I believe, this week. And it's a TV series based on the computer game Fallout. So this is the post-apocalyptic game that was released probably about 10 years ago now. Like, you'd probably recognise it for all of the graphics that go alongside it. So there's like a guy with blonde hair and nuke cola and lots of graphics around kind of how to live after post-apocalyptic times. So basically the show is set in America in 200 years after nuclear warfare has happened. So mm-hmm. you've got people that have been living on the surface, people that are ghosts, so people that have had terrible deformities happen to them as a result of living on the earth, and then there's people that are kind of in robot suits, or almost like religious cults to protect the earth.
And then very complicated.
You've got people living in vaults that basically when nuclear warfare happened they just went underground,
yeah,
and they'd been living in quite a normal society ever
underground.
Since but the show is when they all kind of meet and what happens, and to some extent they're all trying to make the world better but all fighting each other in doing so.
Of course.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really good show. It's quite graphic, and there's some unpleasant scenes.
Okay.
Lots of bloodshed, but actually it's just really interesting.
Are the people in the robot suits, are they actual people?
Yeah.
They are.
So the robot suits are just like giant metal suits that they can fly in and shoot people in.
And have they lived above ground?
From what I can tell now, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've only watched the first couple of episodes.
Cool. Right. Well, there you go. Fallout on Amazon. Yeah.
It's got a great rock and roll soundtrack as well.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else from the week?
Me and Spencer booked a trip to the Venice Biennale.
Oh, have you?
Yes. So very excited about that. That starts on the 20th of April and we're going just at the beginning of May for a weekend. So
about the bank holiday?
Yeah, bank holiday weekend. So we will report back.
Yes.
We will do a special show.
Ooh. Well, can you do some like live record? No, obviously not, like you don't have to ring in, but if you do some recording whilst you're there, getting some kind of, you know, some of the ambience of the Venice Biennale.
Yeah, the Italian ambience.
Yes.
Spencer eating ice cream.
That's his favourite place in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's why we're going over his birthday.
Of course.
But yeah, very excited for that. What have you been up to this week?
Not a lot, because I've been mostly sitting with my foot up above hip level.
Yes. Yes.
In my attempt to... So I started doing this thing. I think I talked about it a while ago. I started doing this borrow my doggy thing.
Mm.
And I really, really enjoy it. And I've got now a selection of families of whose doggies I go and borrow. And I've gone for the people who very much think that borrow my doggy is there because you want to share the joy of owning a dog with someone else who doesn't and can't perhaps own a dog yet.
Yeah.
But you're not an unemployed, unpaid, regular dog walker. That's kind of... The people who want that, I've sort of steered away from them, because that's not really the ethos of it, as how I understand it. So I've got this group of now doggy friends,
doggy families
who all want me to go and like hang out with their dogs. And I was hanging out with one of the dogs, and who's just gorgeous. He's such a good boy. He's a he's a golden retriever, and he's really chilled and relaxed, and he knows loads of commands, and he's just lovely to walk, really lovely family as well. So I was out walking him with my friend Maria, and we went off piste. we went cross country. You know where that really beautiful bit between Brentwood and Shenfield is at the back of Merrymead Tea Rooms? You know, there's that lovely, I don't know if it's got a name, but there's, it comes out on Sawyers Hall Lane. And
is
you
it
can,
Hartswood?
You can, no, it's no. not. You can walk from there all the way down to Shenfield, and you walk down this really nice little track in amongst a kind of very sort of wooded area, and it's going, it's sort of Merrymead Tea Rooms is on the right hand side of it, and then the schools are on the left hand side of it. And there's also a couple of fields, but there's also a really big forest over there as well. And I kind of hadn't explored that bit. So we walked across a field and went into the forest, which was covered in bluebells, and it was all really beautiful. And so we've been out for quite a while. And we were sort of making our way back. And there's this one bit in the forest where basically it was just a series of streams that we had to get over. And we would just looked for the smallest, narrowest point. And so I thought, you know, Michelle, my friend went over first, Maria, and I helped her over. And, you know, she held her hand as she sort of stepped down onto this plank. And she said, the plank's fine. Put your foot on the plank. It's quite safe. It's quite sturdy. But, you know, make sure you land on the plank kind of thing. And I just thought, I'll do this without a problem. I'll just kind of like, oh, no one to help my hand as I step onto this plank. So I'll just step onto it really hard and firm so that I don't twist my ankle. So I stepped down from about half a metre onto this plank in the middle of this little stream, and as I stepped down quite firmly, the back of my calf exploded and went no. So I went, that hurt. And then I kind of scrambled up the bank on the other side, and then I was like, oh no, this really hurts. Oh, actually no, this really really hurts. So I have ripped the muscle in the back of my calf.
How did you get back?
Hobbling.
Did you find a big stick to help yourself along with?
I didn't find a big stick. I just sort of hobbled, which caused problems with my other leg. But so we hobbled. Yeah, it's about a mile back that I had to hobble. So it took us quite a while.
And then that kind of adds to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You have one injury, and then you have it.
Oh, my God. I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere and I can't get back. I mean, obviously, you know, I was trying not to be too dramatic. Maria was being...
Only screaming and crying. Nothing
yeah,
else.
Just kind of going, ooh. You know, in those situations, like, very much err into the oh my god, my friend's going to think I'm completely useless now, and I can't show any of this. And every now and then I was going, oh no, sorry Maria, I really can't walk that quickly. Anyway, she was brilliant, and unfortunately I had the lovely Leo the dog with me, who just is an absolute godsend and just sort of trotted along beside me.
Aww.
And I was like, oh thank god for that, you know, I wasn't having to, you know, hold a dog that was pulling me along the road, kind of thing.
Although that could have been good, because you could have just like put a bit of wood underneath
myself
you
to the
and,
dog.
Yeah, just ride on.
I did think about that. Anyway, we got rescued at the road, and Maria's husband came to pick us up and then took the dog back. Anyway, so I went to hospital later on in the afternoon, and it was all fine. The tendons were fine. It was just muscular. So 2 weeks of recovery, basically, and lots of physio. Not lots of physio, but lots of stretching, lots of exercises. Yeah. So I've had a week of putting it up, and I walked around yesterday, and I went for a walk this morning, just on kind of road, and it's all right. It's still twinging. It's definitely twinging going downhill and going uphill. But so that's now just about stretching. But yeah, so I didn't do very much, but I watched a lot of TV because I did it on Saturday, and then so I couldn't really do anything for Saturday
and
Sunday.
You had a full week of TV putting your leg up.
Well, I mean, working as well. I had to work the whole week because, you know, when you hurt your leg, that doesn't stop your brain from working, unfortunately. So here's what I've been watching this week really quickly. So on Disney Plus, I watched Renegade Nell, which is a quick-witted and courageous... young woman who's framed for a murder. Unexpectedly, she becomes the most notorious outlaw in 18th century England. But she's also visited by this magical spirit called Billy, which kind of sort of appears on her shoulder every now and then. And she realizes that her destiny is bigger than she's ever imagined. It's really interesting. It's fun. It's a bit like Huckleberry Finn and that's on as well. It is a really fun show, but interestingly, it's been written by Sally Wainwright, who I'm sure we all remember for Happy Valley, Home with the Braithwaites, and it's sort of different, but at the same time, what it shares with all of Sally's work really is a kind of female narrative at the heart, and it's kind of, I compared it to mostly to her show Gentleman Jack, where you've got this kind of really strong female leads and women acting in a way that's not stereotypically women.
Not the damsel.
Yes. So Renegade Nell is the, you know, how many stories do you know about a notorious highway woman? So that's where it's kind of positioning it. But it's really good. And it's played by Louisa Harland from Derry Girls. And she's just fab. She's really, really good in it. And I've really enjoyed it. And apparently, fingers crossed, there's going to be a season two. So I'm looking forward to that. I am overly excited about being an armchair traveller. And
yes.
Now that Race the World is back, I am so excited about it. I love this programme. And I kind of love it for the psychology of it, but I also just really love it for the looking at different places around the world that I, you know, might not ever get a chance to go to. Or
yeah, I was really pleased that they started in Japan.
Yeah, right. Not right up in the north of Japan. Really, really interesting. And also quite beautiful places in the north. I'm like the first shot in the show, if you watch it, in that place that they start off in the north, they just, this beautiful picture of rolling hills and beautiful countryside and, you know, amazing cities, not as big as Tokyo, but amazing cities. And I just immediately thought, oh my god, I've never thought I wanted to go to Japan, and now I really do.
And the mum and daughter duo who went on the west coast, they saw some really beautiful landscape down that way as well. And that's not even on your tourist map.
Yes.
Generally, when you think of Japan, it's like Tokyo, Kyoto, and kind of that region, Hiroshima.
Yes.
But the north, you never really see, do you?
Yes, you go and see the mountain, and then you kind of do that. I mean, I've already got some favourites of the pairs, because, you know, it's also about, you know, who entertains you. So they're going from the north of Japan through the whole of Indonesia. And I can't remember where they're ending up. No, it's gone. And we've got this year's pairs include mother and daughter duos Bridie and Sharon and Eugenie and Isabel. So very different mother and daughter duos. You've got one, and I'm fascinated by this, one who's kind of, you know, the mother said, mother thinks the relationship is okay. It's like, you know, it's good. Their mother and the daughter thinks it's dreadful. Yeah. Like they're gonna,
and that's why they're there, because one's thinking this will be nice because this is all right. And the other one's like, we need to fix this somehow. This is the only way.
They've got totally mismatched experiences and expectations of each other. And the other partnership are a really close mother and daughter bond, and they keep talking about, you know, she's got quite severe dyslexia, so she's kind of, you know, she's obviously had to rely on her mum quite a bit, but she's also quite independent, and you can see her mum really helping her to be independent. And it also sounds like they've said a few things. Oh, well, we have to live on a budget, so we'll be good at budgeting. So they've obviously kind of had some financial difficulties as a pair. And then we've also got a married couple, a retired couple, Stephen and Viv, and they're like, in the first season, the first show, they started off going, it's not a race. They were going, no, I'm sure it's in the title, Race the World. But they're like, we're just here to experience it. We're here to just kind of we've finished work. What do we do with our lives? And we want to see if exploring and traveling is something that we do as a kind of future together. But they, on the first day, sorry if I'm giving too much of the show away, but on the first day, they basically went to a spa.
Yeah.
On the first day.
I mean, why not?
I was like, oh my God. When they went to a spa and had to like be filmed nudist, which I thought was just enough, but I was like, well, good for them, they're just starting off with a let's enjoy this. But I think the kind of physicality of it really makes a difference. If you can't carry a backpack around all day, that's going to be really difficult, isn't it? So let's see how Stephen and Viv get on.
They would have to outsmart the others because they couldn't see themselves keeping up with them.
And then you've got brother and duo, sister Betty and James, and I really like them. James is kind of just like Betty's,
they look like standard brother and sister,
they do
like, but getting angry with each other and like,
which is all fun. She's the young older one, but she's the traveller. She's the one that's kind of gone out and been independent and seen the world and is interested in culture in different places. And he's the younger brother, you know, that, and also just the height difference between them.
He's
like twice the size of her. But he's the older brother and a young brother, and his idea about going on holiday is spending most of the time in a bar in Magaluf.
Yeah, with the lads.
With the lads. And he hasn't ever been on holiday that isn't like that. So that's kind of interesting. She wants to open his eyes.
But what I saw with those two is actually he's quite logical.
Yes.
And it's almost like he is better in a lot of ways at travelling than she is.
Yes.
But because she has more experience, she's older sister, that's like where the friction is.
Yes. And he described his role as when she loses the plot, he'll be the strong one.
Mm.
So that's kind of interesting. And then you've got best friends Alfie and Owen, who are just hilarious.
Yeah.
But they're the youngest in the competition. They are both 19, I think.
Mm.
And I love them, but they would drive me insane. Yeah. They would absolutely drive me insane.
Like their conversations about each other in front of each other.
Yeah. and the level of confidence, they are super competitive and they believe they can do everything. So, you know, they're going to be fun watching. And then finally, the other thing that I've been watching a lot of, haven't finished yet, is The Dropout. So this is the series that stars Amanda Seyfried and is based on the true story of the downfall of tech billionaire Elizabeth Holmes and her company Theranos. The saga begins in 2002 when Holmes began on a chemical engineering degree at Stanford University, and basically she drops out of university and has this kind of dream of starting a company. And the company, the idea is that you can give people an opportunity to do take the tiniest drop of blood, a patch test of blood that could then test you for, you know, all sorts of different things. And it's all about preventative health. But she just gets all of these financial backers interested in her idea because she practices being charismatic. The way that it's being presented is that very much she has to work at being charismatic.
Mm.
But she's also working in the, you know, in the 2000s, in the early 2000s when...
Is this one, there was a documentary about her and this, or
there's probably has been a documentary. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I know the story.
There's no spoiler alert to this because the story is being made of a real person who is now in prison.
Yeah.
And you know that she went to prison. She didn't go to prison until like last year or something. 23, I think. So the whole thing started in the court case started in 2021 because of various different things that delayed it, but. Amanda Seyfried plays it incredibly well. It's a story of deception and fraud. It's a story of the youngest female billionaire in America. It's a story of what happens to you when people believe in you and you want to prove to them that you can do it. There's all sorts of ethical problems in the decisions that she made, but it's really interesting. I was reading some of the stuff around how she responded to it, and she does have excuses as to why she did the things that she did. And some of those excuses are because of the pressure that she was put on her to meet those expectations by the board. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember it now. The documentary is called The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley.
Right.
And that was on Netflix. I don't think it is anymore, but you can catch up with that.
Amanda Seyfried plays it incredibly well. It's really interesting, and it's got some kind of interesting little cameo, Stephen Fry's in it, and you know, all sorts of he's not a cameo, he's got quite a main part. So it is interesting, and I haven't got to the end of it yet. It's also quite hard to watch. It's sort of hard to watch a woman feeling like she has to behave in certain ways. And you know, as we'll hear later on in our news roundup, you know, it's still really difficult for women to have equal status in the world of work. But let's get into our first playlist, and you need some music. You need to listen to this. Obviously, we're going to start off with Flowers, because why not? Miley Cyrus has been a soundtrack to my decade, I think, really. So let's have a listen to her track first.
We were good, we were gold, kind of dream that can't be sold. We were right till we weren't, built a home and watched it burn. Things you don't started to cry, but then remembered FM.
The elements influence us each year, whether it's heat in summer or cold in winter. At JWD, we can take care of all your heating and air conditioning needs at a reasonable price, with finance available through our partners Can Do if required. Our engineers give their promise to be clean and tidy whilst carrying out works to the highest standard. Give us a call on 0776 009 239 or visit our social media pages at JWD Heating.
Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full atoll and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
At The Mortgage Specialists, we offer whole-of-market mortgage advice. We pride ourselves on keeping things personal, ensuring the advice you receive is perfect for your situation. With over 25 years' experience, we offer our clients clear, independent advice delivered in a professional way. Whether you're moving, looking to renew your mortgage, or maybe looking to invest in buy-to-let, call us now on Brentwood 222932 to speak with us today. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
Phoenix FM.
And an interesting ending there from Travis and Flowers in the Window. Did that? Did you remember that one, Natalie?
Yeah, I used to really like that song.
Yeah, I used to really like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I've just not heard it for a long
time.
Yeah,
no, me neither. So, which is a nice trip down memory lane. So, yes, our playlist this week is all about flowers because it is National Gardening Day today. So, some of us may have been out. I looked at my garden and thought, nah.
I sat outside for 2 minutes and looked at the things that I needed to tidy up in the garden and then went back inside.
Do you know what the thing though? I feel like gardening is some people like to do it on their own, but I don't. I like to do it with other people, and I cannot get either of my children to go out there. Although Danny has said that he will go and do some gardening, so I went out and looked at it, and then I thought, no, I'll go in instead and I'll write about gardens. So I did that instead.
It's far less arduous.
Yeah. So on National Gardening Day today, we thought we'd share some of the most beautifully designed gardens, as there's lots of us may have been, unlike me and Natalie, have been out in the garden this weekend in the best of the sunshine, actually digging around and getting all that maintenance done that's been building up over the winter. Whether you've got a window box or a meadow, here's some inspiration for you to imagine a little oasis of calm that you can create for yourself this year, and have this in your head as you're doing all your maintenance. So if you're going on holiday in the UK this year, perhaps you might be able to take a visit to any of the following beautiful spaces. And the first one is literally a hop, skip and a jump over the A127.
You could even walk there.
You could. You could.
2 miles.
Well, I say it's 2 miles. It's about 2 miles. But you could actually walk to West Horndon and go and have a look at Barnard's Farm. 22 hectares of gardens at this farm range from landscaped walks through young woodland to the precise detail of a Japanese garden. They have more formal gardens, including a parterre, herbaceous borders, a living wall and a vegetable garden that can be found near the house. There's also a walk through managed landscape which will take in the long avenue, a stream, ponds and the Euro wood. And there's a striking feature in the southwest corner, which is the Belvedere, planted largely with roses, providing a blaze of colour in the summer. There is a huge collection of sculpture. I have actually been to see this collection of sculpture, and it's amazing. There's got lots of different artists, and you'll find works by Elizabeth Frink, Anthony Gormley, Thomas Heatherwick, Bernard Holmes, Charmaine Cox and more. It's home to also the National Collection of Mallus, which is crab apples, who knew? And so
who knew there was a national collection?
I know. And they benefit from the blossom during springtime, which is out now, and then colourful fruit in the autumn. It is open every Thursday from April, and then on Sundays in the summer. So if you want to find out more, it's barnardsfarm.eu, and it is literally on our doorstep, so go and check it out if you haven't seen it. There's also a miniature railway. Just thought I'd throw that one in at the end.
And anywhere with a miniature railway.
Yes, exactly.
Very Audley End.
I don't think you can take dogs, but you can take children and old people.
and old people.
Yes. No, anyone that likes a miniature railway.
Only under 10s and over 60s.
Yes. Do you want to do the next one?
So in Charleston, in East Sussex, in 1916, the artists Vanessa Belt and Duncan Grant moved from London to a farmhouse near Lewes in Sussex. For the next 50 years, Charleston would become a meeting place for the Bloomsbury Group, writers, artists and intellectuals, including Virginia Woolf, Roger Fry, John Maynard Keynes and E.M. Forster. While the house was decorated in Bloomsbury style with ceramics, textiles, murals inspired by post-impressionists, the garden was designed with the Mediterranean in mind. So this is dotted with mosaic paths and classical sculpture and showcases their art and what inspired it. In a letter from 1936, Vanessa Bell wrote of a differing blaze of flowers and butterflies and apples, scenes which featured in many of her still life paintings. So that's Charleston.
Yes.
And that's so only over the border in Kent.
Yes. And we talked about the Bloomsbury Group not so long ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did a bit of a feature on them on the show. And, you know, they were really radical, both radical in lots of ways, radical in their art, but radical in their living as well. They were
possibly one of the most successful collectives that you could describe.
Yes, yeah, but kind of had a really different kind of they were sort of hippies of the 1916s,
but suited and booted.
Yeah, suited and booted hippies, but like, you know, the free love thing and kind of having relationships with each other and kind of, you know, really progressive of the time. But the garden is beautiful. So you can, it's open from March to November, and you can look that up at charleston.org.uk. Heading off down to St Ives in Cornwall, you can see the place where Barbara Hepworth went to live in 1949 with her husband and artist Ben Nicholson and their children. And from Truin Studio, with its sloping garden, she created sculptures in stone and wood, drawing inspiration from the undulating landscape of the coast. Finding Truin was a sort of magic, she wrote. And there, here was a studio, a yard and a garden where I could work in open air and space. After the artist's death, and sadly in a studio fire in 1975, the property was given to the nation and placed in the care of Tate Gallery. So you can wander around the small garden among her sculptures and visit her studio as well, which is still littered with all the tools and drawings from when she was there in the 1970s, and offers a unique insight into her life and work. So have a look at that. It's in St Ives in Cornwall. It's open daily.
Definitely worth a visit if you're going down that way. Over in Derbyshire, there is Chatsworth House, which is the seat of the Duke of Devonshire and home of the Cavendish family since 16th century, which has played host to art and artists for centuries. The Cavendish art collection spans 4,000 years, from ancient Egyptian sculptures and masterpieces by Rembrandt to works by modern artists including Lucian Freud and Edmond de Waal. In the garden, contemporary installations are set against Capability Brown's 18th century landscape. For the last 10 years, Sotheby's has hosted Beyond Limits, an annual exhibition of contemporary sculpture there, with works by Michael Craig, Martin R.A., Damien Hirst, Sarah Lucas and Ai Weiwei as an example. Chatsworth House is closed between November and March, but it means that it's open again now.
Yeah, so if you're going over to Derbyshire, head over and have a look at that one. Just hopping over the border again into Kent, Prospect Cottage. So this is Derek Jarman's cottage. It's a really beautiful and very simple wooden structure. And he went there in the 1980s. He was diagnosed with HIV, and he relocated to Kent and devoted his final years to this unusual landscape. If you've ever been near Dungeness, you'll know why that landscape is so unusual. He took over this little shack. It literally looks like a fishing shack. I think it is a fishing shack on the it's kind of like, it's not dunes, it's like, it's all like,
it's technically a desert, isn't
it? It's technically a desert, yeah. It's a kind of really, really odd place. I've been there and walked around. It's all kind of shingle, and but there are, it's really unusual planting in that area, because it's kind of a dry and arid space, dry space. And his final piece of work, who he collaborated with photographer Howard Sooley, is called Derek Jarman's Garden, and it's a record of the garden's flourishing. You can't go into the house because it is privately owned, but there's a wonderful walk that takes you alongside it, or you can also go on a not miniature but small gauge railway train.
another railway
from Dungeness to all sorts of places. And if you want to find out where the best walks are, you can go to walkingaway.uk and look up Prospect Cottage and Dungeness, and there's a really lovely description of some walks around there. And that's really only a couple of hours away, Dungeness, from here.
I did go there a couple of years ago, and there's quite a lot of contemporary artwork that's kind of been erected there by other artists that have decided to move into that Kent coastal area as well. A tip though, don't go if it is windy. I had to leave after about an hour because my ears just couldn't take the feeling of the wind.
It's very, very
exposed.
It was
a nice sunny day, but the wind was too much.
It's such an interesting place. It does look like nowhere else in the UK, that bit of Kent, and it's right next to, and it doesn't help by kind of creating that sort of slightly deserty, almost sci-fi feel, because it's got right next to Dungeness Power Station. So you kind of got this kind of, you know, this now concreted dystopian power station, which is obviously out of use now, but it's a big massive concrete box, and then you've got this incredible shingle landscape next to it. It's just very peculiar but very inspiring. Right, next one.
Next is, you've probably heard of this before, Yorkshire Sculpture Park. So this has been in Yorkshire since 1977, and it's since then it's been a centre of modern art, with works from artists including Henry Moore, Elizabeth Frink, Andy Goldsworthy and Ai Weiwei, scattered through about 800 acres of rolling land. For those with stamina, the Yorkshire Sculpture Park can be enjoyed alongside the Hepworth Wakefield, which is the riverside gallery designed by David Chipperfield, and the Henry Moore Institute in Leeds, dubbed the Yorkshire Triangle.
I've done that.
Have you done
that? Yes,
That is quite.
I've done that.
As I'm speaking about it, I'm thinking, who in their right mind?
Me. I did the Yorkshire Triangle when the Hepworth was just first opened, and that's why I did it, because I went to see the opening of the Hepworth, and then I thought, oh, I'll do the Yorkshire Triangle while I'm here.
And is there a trail you can do around that, or is it kind of, I don't know, you choose which one you go to first?
I just did them in the order that I was there. But I'm very happy to say that I did it, although I don't have a Yorkshire Triangle badge, and I'd quite like one of those.
Do you get a badge now?
Don't think so, but I think they should give you a badge.
Okay. You should just write a strongly worded letter of complaint that you didn't get your badge.
Yes, I will do. Well, I'll just make my own. Closer to home then, if you want to tour out to the other side of London, you can obviously go and see the Royal Botanic Gardens at Kew. It's one of Britain's top attractions and owns bragging rights to the world's largest and most diverse collection of plants. As well as the internationally important flora, the 330-acre site is vaunted for its unique landscape gardens, palm house, treetop walkway for those people who don't have a problem with heights, and the grandiose architecture of the Grade 1 listed Temperate House, the largest Victorian glasshouse on earth.
I didn't realise it was the biggest in the world.
On earth. Mm-hmm. So somewhere other than earth,
so for
there might be a bigger one.
Not around the globe, mm-hmm. On earth.
So there's another marvel of garden design there as well, called The Hive, which is an immersive installation inspired by a beehive. So it is a beautiful place to go, particularly in the kind of balmy summer evenings. Go along to kew.org.
And there's the Japanese house as well, isn't there? The really tall one. Yeah. I can't remember what that's called.
Yeah. And then if you want to go the nice way, the overground does go all the way around. So you can
You can get a boat.
Yes.
No miniature train, but you could get a boat.
Yes. So, yeah, try Kew this summer. And when if it's in the height of summer, it'll be really, really, really hot. So
Take a picnic. But they do have... I noticed, so we went last year and it was very, very hot, and there's water fountains everywhere. I don't remember them being there previous visit, so there's obviously some protocol there.
And they have the stinkiest plant in the world there as well, don't they? The one that only flowers once every 50 years.
It's like the big red one that opens. That wasn't open when I was there. over in West Sussex, you can go to Bald Hill with a self-guided spring trail through citrus, fragrant magnolia and flamboyant camellias. Bald Hill is a hidden gem. 5,000 February gold narcissi have been newly planted for 2024, and there's a cafe in the old Peacock House.
Always important to have a cafe.
It's very lovely. Horticulturalist Colonel Stevenson Robert Clark began to create garden when he bought the estate in 1893. He paid plant hunters to find seeds for Chinese tulip trees and white-flowered lace barks from New Zealand, so that visitors are transported around the world as they walk through it. Fragrant Chinese honeysuckle, dawn arrowwoods, and lots more are flowering in early spring. From a formal Italian garden where pine and eucalyptus are reflected in the lily pond, paths leading through subtropical ferns and palm trees to the wilder rhododendron garden, with its Himalayan hybrids, some blooming from March. So if you want to do the tour around the world in the UK, you can just go to this garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like, and it's open daily from February, and it's Bord Hill, B-O-R-D-E, hill.co.uk. Over in, closer to home again, over in just on the side of Chelmsford, within Chelmsford, in Southwood and Ferris, you can go to RHS Hyde Hall. And at the moment, there is loads to look at Hyde Hall. Take a look, firstly, in the woodland garden for a colourful succession of camellias, magnolias and rhododendrons, a spectacle that lasts for months. From March to April at the moment, camellias continue to delight as the breathtaking goblet-shaped flowers of magnolias burst open. Some of the magnolias have already gone because they're such a short flowering tree. Mm. The rhododendrons are out in force and will bloom in a rainbow of dazzling colours. And there's some very rare species from China there as well. And also you can look at the sights and scents of the shrubs such as... Daphne, what's that saying? Edgeworthia and Daphne. And the garden is now filled with a mass of pretty hellebores everywhere. Lots of swathes of colour from those spring beauties in the Robinson Garden and the Winter Garden, and also around the Lower Pond. So lots to look at. You think about some of these gardens being only really like worth visiting in the summer, and actually this is entirely the right time to go, particularly if they've got rhododendrons, hellebores.
Spring blossom.
Yeah, spring blossom. Amazing. So that's Hyde Hall, just over in South Woodham Ferris. Really easy to get there. It's if you've got a car, so try and car share with other people. You can get a bus there. It's slightly more challenging to get a bus, but it is entirely possible. So lots of beautiful gardens to inspire your gardening efforts this year and create your own little oasis of peace. And we have to have another oasis of peace, which is Air with Cherry Blossom Girl.